For all you who don't like it loud, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. You know, it's really not all that bad. A lot of times it's, you know, we just, you know. How many know difference good? How many know God likes diversity? Look in this room. You know. Even in this church. Man, we got people from all parts of the world just about.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. You've got people from the south here. Woo. Wow. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter, well, we're going to read a little bit in chapter 3 and then into chapter 4. I want to share with you, got a few minutes left here. I want to share with you from the Word of God this morning. Hallelujah. How many of you have had a chance to go online and listen to some of the podcasts? Have anybody? Well, what's the matter with y'all? Y'all backslid? Just kidding. But you know, you can go online. How many of you go online at all? Okay, see there? You go online. If you go to graceonthemove.us, just go over to where it says media on the scroll, pull down to audio, and you can, I mean, there's probably about 20 different messages that you can click on there. Amen?
Amen.
You know, sometimes we need to hear it more than once.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
I believe my messages are good for at least 2-3 times a year. Amen? You'll get something fresh and new out of them. All right, Hebrews chapter 3. Let's pick it up at about verse 16. He says, "Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry, though for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they should never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." Let me share with you just for a few minutes about entering into God's rest. Entering into God's rest. You know, as Christians, it's real easy for us to get in a place where we're striving, we're working, we're doing all this stuff. We're in a tumult and a turmoil, and all the time we're just striving on the inside of ourselves and on the outside too, and we're going in 50 different directions and we're doing all kinds of things, you know, that are good things. But you know, I found out many Christians have never learned the secret of entering into God's rest. Jesus said this. He said, "When you come to me," he said, "I'm going to give you what? Rest." Rest. Just say that word. Now, I know we all like that, don't we? And then after, we like rest. You know, and he talks about rest. And you know, the Bible is interesting. Even God celebrated rest. Wow. Isn't that something? In Genesis 2:2, you don't have to turn over there. You can just jot that down. But it says over there that God looked after all his creation there in chapter 1. God looked at everything. He saw that it was good. And it says, and God rested on the Sabbath day. God rested. Wow. Isn't that interesting? Well, did God rest because he was wore out? No, God doesn't get tired, does he? So we've got to, we understand the physical part because we have a physical nature. And so we understand that part about physical rest. But I want us to move it just a little bit higher than that and think about it from God's perspective. When God rested there, what did it mean? It meant that everything that needed to be done had been done. I'm going to say that again. Everything that needed to be done had been done. Now, God's giving Israel, here in Hebrews, the writer in Hebrews, Israel, as an example to us, because the problem with Israel was this, that they did not believe and receive the fact that everything that needed to be done was already done for them to enter into the promised land. That was their problem. That, you know, they looked at the giants, they looked at the obstacles, they looked at their leadership, they looked at everything they could think of was a reason why not to enter in. And it says here, it says that they did not enter into the rest of God because they did not understand that everything that needed to be done was already done. Remember what Caleb them said? He said, let's go on in. Let's go on in. God's already taken care of it. God's gone before us. God's already taken care of everything. All we've got to do is go put our foot down. All we got to do is just obey God. All we got to do is move in. And if they had done that, what would they have entered into? Rest. But instead, what did their 40 years of wandering represent? The result of unbelief. And you know, I see so many Christians, you know, they're worried all the time. They're uptight all the time. They have this sense of, you know, that they're not fulfilled, that, you know, they haven't found out really what God's plan and purpose for them. They don't feel like they're pleasing to God. And so they're constantly, their life is in this turmoil. And they're just like the Israelites. They keep going on the same path, but they never advance. They never move forward in their spiritual lives and growth. And a part of that is because we haven't understood what it means to enter into rest. Notice what he says here. He said, who were they, verse 16, who were rebelled? Were they not all that Moses led out of Egypt? Now, they came out of Egypt, which represents what? That they came out of the world. And then God had something further for them. How many of you know as believers, it's great that we've been saved, our sins have been forgiven, and we've been, as it were, translated out of this present world. But how many of you know God's got more for you to do? And see, what their problem was is they were so short-sighted, all they could see was what was right there by them. All they could see was the heat, the rock, the sand. All they could see was their lack. All they could see was right in front of them. And they had no spiritual eyesight. They had no spiritual discernment that they could see beyond that. That they could see through the promise of God that there was an opportunity for something more. That God had something more for them. Not just bringing them out of Egypt, but taking them into some place. That was the promised land. For us, it's called rest. The rest of God. And the way they fail to enter in is the same way most Christians fail to enter in. And that is what? Unbelief. The Bible says disobedience. If you look at it actually in the Greek, it says unpersuadableness. In other words, they couldn't be persuaded. And you know, God says that through the foolishness of preaching is the way God has designed for people to hear and enter into the rest of God. But you know what? Sometimes you can't persuade people. Why do we preach and why do we teach? Why do we do this? Really, you know what we're trying to do? We're trying to persuade you. Persuade you to do what? To believe that God's word is true and that God will do what he said he'll do. Trying to persuade you. And the only reason that you don't do it is because you haven't been persuaded yet. Isn't that true? If the Bible says pray and you don't pray, well, you obviously you're not persuaded that what? That you need to pray. If the Bible says that by his stripes you were healed, but yet you don't believe God wants you to be healed, then you haven't been persuaded. If we preach to you that Jesus is the Savior, that he died for your sins and he wants to forgive all your sins, you know, and make you a child of God, and yet you won't receive it, then you haven't been persuaded. And to whatever degree of God's grace and God's promises that you become you hear about, you read it, you hear it taught, you hear it preached, you see it on TV, whatever it is, you are made aware of the gospel like they did, to the degree that you will not obey, will not believe it, to that degree, you are out of the rest of God. Hello? Why are we striving and staying up nights? It's not because we're in rest. Why are we worried and fretful about, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow? It's surely not because we're in rest. Why are we concerned, you know, about the economy and what's going to happen? And maybe I'm going to lose my house, my car, my job, and everything. Well, it can't be because we entered into rest. That's not a place of rest. We enter into rest when what? We will mix faith with the gospel of God. What has God said to you? What has God said to you? I'll tell you what. From time to time, I do this. It's good. I'll write up the top. I'll get a piece of paper out, you know, and a legal pad or something. And I'll write up the top when I'm facing something. What do I know? Hello? Because the enemy's already telling me what all I don't know. He never does that to you, though, does he? Well, you don't know what to do, and you ain't got the answer. And, you know, pretty soon, if you're not kidding, you, man, you just dig your hole right down into that thing. You know, so I go, so what do I know? And I start writing it down, and then I begin to think, well, wait a minute. If I know this, then, I just need to do it. I just need to believe this and do it. You know, 99 out of 100 Christians, you don't need counseling. You don't need to come to the pastor and get some super-duper prayer done for you and all that. Don't misunderstand me. We'll pray for you. But I'm going to tell you what. If you just take a minute in your problem and write down and say, what do I know? And then just look at it and say, okay, do this. You know, most of the time when I'm counseling people, I don't really counsel. They come in and talk, and by the time they're through talking, if they're a Christian, they already told me what the answer is. I said, well, just go do what you said. You'll be all right. You know, that last part. You know, sometimes people just want somebody to listen. Isn't that right? Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I found out by the end of the time, most Christians, they already know the answer. They know what they need to know. Just need to go out and do it. But that's what he said. He said, because they couldn't be persuaded, because they wouldn't mix faith with it, he said, they never entered into God's rest. And I want to ask you this morning, you've seen those commercials, I'm sure, with the sleep number beds, they call them. I want to ask you this morning, you know, to what degree have you entered into rest? You know, what's your comfort number there? To what degree have you entered into rest? Maybe there's areas, if you're probably like most of us, we probably can look at certain areas of our lives and see, okay, hey, you know what? Man, I've entered into the rest there. Glory to God. Probably for the biggest majority of us, one of those common areas would probably be that we know that our sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. I'm not staying up late at night thinking about, oh God, how am I going to take care of this sin problem? You know, probably most of us, we're at rest there. We're at rest with what Jesus has done. It is enough. It is more than enough. And I'm persuaded. I've mixed faith with that. Man, my sins are forgiven. I'm telling you what, you could just take a baseball bat and beat me to a greasy spot, and I'm still going to say, my sins are forgiven. I'm settled. I'm at rest. I'm not fretting over it. I'm not worrying over it. I'm not trying to figure out, you know, maybe if I pray 40 hours this week and read 10,000 chapters of the Bible, God's going to forgive me. But yet when it gets to other areas, what we might want to do is just do an inventory. Where is it that I don't have peace in my life? Where is the area where I don't have peace? Where am I troubled? Where does worry seem to kind of get a toehold there on me? What is the area of my life? That is an indication right there. What? I've not entered into the rest of God. I have not fully understood or been persuaded that God has already done everything that needs to be done for me in that area. Is it finances? He said, I am Jehovah Jireh. That means what? The God that sees ahead, not just today, he's the God that sees ahead and provides. Amen? Well, you know, if you can believe for your daily bread today, God says, well, take it a step further and believe that I've met your need for all this week. And then you could take it a step further and believe that I've met your need for all this month. And then you really could grow in your faith and say, but believe God's met my need for all this year. I mean, you know, why struggle with that thing every day? Just get it on out there. See, what? Enter into what? Rest. To that degree, we enter into rest. Is it something to do with a family member? The salvation of a family member or something? Whatever it is, you know, that's keeping you up at night? None of y'all have ever been there, have you? What is it? He says, we haven't entered into rest. Notice, he says, and with whom was he angry for 40 years? You know, we read it in one of our other lessons. You can read it over there where it says, God told them, he said, for every day that the spies went in the land, 40 days in the land, spied it out, came back and brought an evil report. He said, for every day, you're going to be a year in the desert till this generation dies out. Why? Was because God's just a big old meanie. No, they could not go in. What was he going to do? They didn't want to go in. Are you listening to me? They did not want. You know, we get this idea, even in full gospel circles sometimes. Well, if God, bless God, if God wants to do it, he'll just do it. Well, I don't know where we got that idea. Listen, they, except for Joshua and Caleb, the two that wanted to go in, they went in. Everybody else of that generation did not want to go in, would not believe God, did not enter into rest. So that what was God going to do? He wasn't going to make them go in any more than he'll make you do something. I remember hearing Brother Hagin talking about that, you know, talking about, you know, he's making a statement, you know, like, kind of like what I just made where, you know, he said, some people believe God can just do anything he wants to anytime, under any circumstance, no matter what. And he said, this guy just sitting right up, you know, up the front right here in the middle, just spoke up and said, yes, amen, that's right. Bless God, I believe I do. And he said, before he knew it, he just said, well, how come God can't make you pay your tithes? Man, the guy just ducked behind the pew. You know, we all know there are things that God will not make you do. Isn't that true? We've all been there probably at times, you know, in our immaturity where we wish God would, but God will not make you do anything. He didn't make these people go into the promised land. He didn't make them enter into the rest. And he won't make you go into the rest either. The Bible says this of us as believers, that you are complete in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That everything, well, let's just read it. Hold your place there in Hebrews. Let's turn over to Peter. You all know what I'm going to say probably before I even read it, but I'm going to read it anyway. 1 Peter. No, I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything. Can you say everything?
Everything.
How much is everything?
Everything?
You know, many times the little word A-L-L translated out of the in the Bible. You know what that means in the Greek? All. Trick question. It just means all. Everything. Everything. He said, as everything we need for life and godliness. Life and godliness. So it's not just our spiritual life. Yes, of course. It's not just that, but he said life and. Life and godliness. Through our knowledge of him who called you to his own glory and goodness. And he said, through these he's given us very great and precious promises that through them you might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world by evil desires. Listen, that is when you enter rest. When you are a partaker of God's divine nature in all these areas of life and godliness, through the promises of God, through the knowledge of God's word, through the grace of God, you enter in, you mix faith, you say, God, count me in, I'm in, I'm your man, I'm your woman, I'm your person, you can count me in. And when we begin to do that, when we begin to enter into all the aspects of the grace of God that God's provided for us, to that degree we enter into rest. Amen. Sure. The only reason that you've got anything that's upsetting you is because you haven't been persuaded in some area yet. God might not come through. God might not be at work there. God might not do it. God might not provide it. God might not heal this time. God might not deliver my child this time. God might not save this time. Oh, I just know if I stay up worrying that that's going to help God do it. Come on. I just know if I do this or I do that. Listen, he says, you come to me, you have to enter rest. You didn't get that. He said, if you come to me, you must enter into rest. Remember what Jesus said? He said, come to me and I will give you what? Well, if you're not rested, you haven't come. Either that or Jesus lied. I think I'll take the former. He didn't lie. So here's the thing. We're not resting what? In who He is. We're not resting in His love. We're not resting in His grace. We're not resting in His power. We're not resting in His promise. Maybe we don't know what it is. There you go. Get back your paper out and say, what do I know? And when you get to the end of writing, what do you know? And if you don't see on that list something you know that has to do with the problem, the area where you're not in rest, then that's the time to get out that book and go to digging. Don't call the preacher. Get out the book and go to digging. Are you listening? Because here's the thing. I'll be glad to tell you if I know, but you know what? You're better off to know it for yourself. Get into God's Word. What is the precious promise? What has He told? What has He provided for you? What is the rest He's provided? Amen? He's already provided it. You know, a lot of people, you know, in the natural speaking, would think that the greatest thing in the world would just to get, you know, this humongous pile of money laid up in the bank. You know, just tens of hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, and bless God, hallelujah, I'd be some more check writing machine. Wouldn't have to worry about taxes, wouldn't have to worry about anything, you know. Now, here's the thing. The reason I say that, we probably have all daydreamed about that at some time or another. It's okay. But here's the thing. What we have to understand is, when we think about what God has provided, that actually is not that far from the truth, that in Christ Jesus, that everything, He says, pertaining to this life and to godliness, that you will ever need, God's already provided. He's already provided it. Think what a rest that means. Hallelujah. Yeah, but gas is $4 and something a gallon. Well, God's got $5. Well, you know, insurance went up to, you know, such and such. Well, God's got, you know, more than that. But here's the thing. Have we been persuaded? Because if you're not, you won't rest. Oh, you'll fidget. You'll worry. You'll stay up. Oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it? Oh, God. Oh, you know, let me get 56,000 people to agree with me in prayer. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, I don't know. You know, I'm exaggerating, but, you know, all of us have been there. And He says, if you want to enter rest, go back to Hebrews 4 just for another minute. It's about 2 minutes after 12. How many give me at least 5 more minutes? Okay. 5 more minutes? Let me see your hand. 5, 10, 15, 20. Notice what He says. He says, and to whom did God swear that they would never enter His rest but those who disobeyed? So we see they were, notice this, they were not able to enter. Say they were not able. It didn't say God didn't want them to have it. See, we've made up all kind of stuff on God, put our Christian spin on it. You know, to explain, rather than just being honest and just coming up and saying, you know what, the truth of the matter is I just haven't been able to go in because I just flat hadn't been persuaded. Yeah. You know, God can do something with an attitude like that. But when we come up with, well, I just don't think God wants us to have that. And, you know, God's trying to test me and grow me and prove me and all. And, you know, he says they were not able to enter because of their what? Their what? Unbelief is a decision.
That's right.
Okay? Unbelief is a decision. See, you can't have unbelief unless you've heard something to believe. Unbelief is a decision. It's choosing not to believe. You can believe or you can choose not to believe. That's up to you. But he says if you want to enter God's rest, he said, know this, that if you're at a place of unbelief or unpersuadableness, then you know what? You need to get yourself right back into the Bible, into the Word of God, and you get there and you stay there and you camp there until you are persuaded. Well, you remember what Paul said? He said, I am fully persuaded. Man, I liked it. Fully. Glory to God. Isn't that right? So here's the thing I would tell you. Whatever area where there's concern, there's fears, there's worry, there's unrest. You know, your mind's telling you what you're going to do here and all that. I mean, you need to get this, get into the Bible, get it down, write it down. So, okay, what do I know? Then if I see on that list, I don't know what, man, what has God said about it? I find that in the Word of God. Listen, if you need help, we'll help you find it. But I'll promise you, if you'll make up your mind, bless God, that you're going to find out what God said about your situation, about your trouble, about your problem, about whatever it may be, whether it's some internal struggle you're having or something that's outward in circumstance. He said, for life and what? Godliness. Life has to do with what? All the stuff out here. Godliness has to do with my life before God. Amen. He said, whatever it is, whichever one it is, he said, the answer is right here. It's in the book. He said, but you've got to know something. You've got to know something. And then you've got to be fully persuaded. And you know what? That's something that you and the Holy Spirit got to work together on. I wish I could persuade you. I wish I could persuade you. But you know what? It's going to take you and God working together. Working together. You know, think about it. What are you facing? Anybody facing anything? Internal or external or both? We all put up both hands and both feet, right? Here's the thing. Do you know what has God said about it? You say, well, I know what, you know, I know God said this, but man, I'm telling you, this seems so much more real. Well, you're not persuaded yet. You get back over here. You get back over here. You fix, you know, we read the scripture this morning. I close with this. We fix our eyes on Jesus. How do you fix your eyes on Jesus? You've got to get in the Bible. This is how you fix your eyes on Him right now. He is the living Word. You fix your eyes on the promises in this book. You walk the pages with Jesus. You walk Galilee. You see the dust fly up when your sandals hit the ground. You see Jesus healing the sick. You see Him feeding the poor. You see Him doing the miracles. You see Him teaching. You see Him demonstrating the love, the power, the grace of God. You see yourself there. You see yourself in it. You get yourself fully persuaded. Bless God, that means me too. That means me too. Bless God. If He can take a little boy's lunch and feed 20,000 people, I'm telling you what, He'll take care of your needs this week. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Doesn't matter. But here's the thing. As wonderful as the need being met and all that, and God wants to do that, even more wonderful than that is the rest. Oh, man. How could Jesus sleep in a boat in the middle of a storm? Rest. Isn't that right? Isn't it good? Have you ever had those times where you just, you know, you just kind of sitting down and at your house or some favorite spot, and in just in that moment, you just had a complete rest, peace. You know? I mean, it's almost like, I don't want to move. I don't want anything to disturb this. You know what I mean? It just comes over you like a warm blanket. Just peace and rest. Well, listen, God wants us to walk that way throughout our Christian walk. It's not all the stuff that's whirling around us that's causing a problem. It's our fact that we haven't entered into God's rest yet. And He wants us to. So here's what I want to do. I want to pray for you. Pray for myself too this morning. Here's the key in this little message this morning, that we can enter God's rest. And you know, the thing about it is, when you enter God's rest, you suddenly become aware of so many other things that are good. You know, when you're out there, you know, you're fighting the gators, as we say. And you're all in a turmoil. Listen, you can't enjoy life. You can't appreciate the good things of God. You can't appreciate the love of God and the love of your family. Oh, you got stuff. And I got a to-do list that's 4 pages long. You know? But here's the thing. When we enter into this rest, then it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what's going on around you. Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. I mean, you know, when Jesus was asleep in the boat, all the disciples were hollering, "We're going to die." Boy, they were full of faith, weren't they? But he said, but Jesus woke up, you know, they had to wake him out of sleep. He said, "What's your problem?" Then he told them what their problem was. How is it you have no faith? You can't enter into rest. He that believes has already entered into God's rest. Whatever you face today, I promise you, God's got an answer for you. And if you will be persuaded that God's answer is bigger than your problem, if you'll be persuaded that God's care for you is unfailing, God loves you with an unfailing love. If you'll be persuaded for that, you know what? You'll walk in a peace. You'll walk in a rest. I mean, you get to a place where some people will think, something is wrong with her. Something's up with him. And they'll be right. But it'll be a good something wrong. Because when everybody else is losing their head, everybody else is hollering and screaming, everybody's saying, "Oh, we're going down. Oh, we're doing this, we're doing that," you're going to go serenely along. Why? Because you've entered the rest of God. Because you know this, God has already supplied everything that is needed for me. Amen? You stand to your feet. Hallelujah. I'll get into this a little further maybe in the next time we get, because I want to develop this a little more. It's had time to introduce it. The rest of God. You know, the Bible says that we can have peace that passes all understanding. Remember, Paul said that in Philippians 2? He said, don't worry, don't be anxious about anything. Remember that? He said, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God. Isn't that what he said? Then he said what? He said, here's what you focus on. Whatever's good, whatever's just, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, if there be anything that's of godliness, he said, let your mind rest on that. Why? Because it's settled. If you've lifted it to God, if you've given it to God, if you've believed on the promise of God, then you can have rest. You can have rest. Just train your mind. Say, God, no mind, God's taking care of this. Hallelujah, I'm a child of God. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to talk about the what ifs, because there's no what ifs in God. There are no what ifs in God. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you before I let you go. Listen, enter into the rest of God. You can do it. Hallelujah. It's just a decision. You know, I've shared with you before, you know, I grew up with, my mom was a single mom, and I don't say this being critical. My mom was wonderful. I love her. But she was a champion worrier. You know what I mean by that? Any of y'all know what I mean by that? I mean, dear Lord. You know, but here's the thing. She didn't know what we know, what you know. She did the best she knew how and the best she could. But she was a champion worrier. And, you know, you get around that and you learn how to do it too. Isn't that true? I got a lot of good things too, but this wasn't one of them. But you know, but it was a decision. This is what I come to see. It's a decision. I can worry or I can trust. I can be in turmoil or I can be at rest. It's up to me. So I want to pray for you right now. And then we're going to dismiss and let you go home and have a great Memorial Day weekend. All of that. Father, just a simple message of rest. God, how many people are looking for rest? Father, I think more than anything, people are looking for rest in our day. They're looking for rest because, Lord, sin has a burden. Fear and worry has a burden. Lack has a burden. But you said, Lord, that if we come to you with all of our burdens, we could have rest. And it's very simple. Those who believe have rest. They enter into rest. And Lord, we believe right now. We believe in your goodness. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the shed blood. We believe in the power of the gospel. We believe in the greater one who's in us and with us. We believe in the promises of God. We believe that you love us unconditionally. We believe. Father, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that people in this building today will make the choice to enter into rest. They'll fix their eyes on Jesus. They'll fill their heart with your word and your promise. I thank you, O God, that not one person will leave this place today without knowing the rest that you have provided in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you got anything you need to just give to God right now in just a moment, you just give it to Him. Say, God, I'm giving you this. I'm entering into your rest. I'm giving you this concern. I'm giving you this worry. I'm giving you this problem. I'm making it known to you. You do that. I'm just going to take a few seconds here. You don't take long to do it. Say, God, I'm giving it to you. I'm going to enter into your rest with this thing. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have peace about that loved one. I'm going to have peace about that son or daughter. I'm going to have peace about that job situation. I'm going to have peace about you meeting my... I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have rest because I believe. I believe. I believe your word. I believe in you. Father, thank you for it. Lord, I just speak your blessing over the people as they prepare to go. Lord, I thank you your grace is on them. May they have a great week in God. A great week in God. Father, may they have a wonderful day tomorrow, Memorial Day. And Lord, help us tomorrow to remember to lift up our servicemen again, to remember them. Oh God, we thank you for our nation, for all the liberties, for all the blessings, for all the opportunities. We are grateful and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.